it's fun and professional. And I've never had that in a team before, where everyone was on the same page, wanted the same thing, and also wanted to have fun while doing it.
Welcome to the British Continental Podcast, brought to you by Continental. Continental have been supporters of the domestic road scene for over 25 years. The go-to tyre brand for elite riders, from the off-camber cobbled corners of the Durham Tour Series to the farm tracks of the Cycle Classic.
Hello and welcome to Series 3 of the British Continental Podcast. It's a delayed start to our podcast this year after juggling homeschooling and childcare for the last few weeks, but I'm pleased to say we're finally underway. And we've got some really, really exciting guests and interviews already lined up, in fact, already recorded. On to today's show, though, and we're going to take you back in time a little to two interviews I recorded just before Christmas. A double bill, if you like, with Marjolein van 't Kloof and Alison Towers from the newly titled Drops Le Col, supported by a Tempur team. 24-year-old Marjolein, also known as Mayo and Marge to her teammates, is a Dutch rider probably most at home in the crosswinds and cobbles of her native Netherlands and neighbouring Belgium. Alice, meanwhile, is a first-year senior rider, still only 18, and she steps up from the Ciro Wheels Cycle Division team this year. She's no stranger to UCI racing, though, having experienced it firsthand during a Stagiaire contract last season in Spain. Before we go over to the interviews, though, I want to say a massive thank you to wheel brand Hunt. The British-based firm produces some of the best design wheel sets around. I say that not because I feel obliged to, but as someone who has owned and ridden their wheels for years. As people who love to race bikes themselves, they are passionate about supporting the domestic sport. They've supported the Canyon DHB Sun God team for 5 seasons now, and also sponsor the Bianchi Dharma women's team. Their offer of support comes with few strings. They aren't asking us to adorn their website with Hunt branding or plug their wheels every 5 minutes. They simply want us to continue what we are doing because they value it. So I just want to say a big thank you to Hunt. It will make a huge difference to us this year. Thank you. I should also say that VeloSkin are still offering listeners 10% off all of their skincare range. All you need to do is use the code TBC-10, that's TBC-10, on their website on any purchase, and you'll get 10% off. And all sales using that code will also support us at the British Continental. Right, that's all of our announcements. Our next episode will feature an interview with one of our under-23 riders to watch, Lewis Askey. You may remember that Lewis kept a diary for us during the Baby Giro last year. An episode on that will be out shortly. But Lewis will also be checking in with us throughout the year on the podcast so we can track his progress. Okay, and now over to the interviews. So welcome to the British Continental. I guess I should first of all ask or start by asking you to pronounce your name, because I don't want to get it wrong on air, and maybe the listeners will want to know how to pronounce things too.
I think it's Marjolein. But if you will talk to anyone in the team, it will be or Mayo. And I heard that you talked already to April, and she calls me Marge. So she's the only one that calls me Marge. But yeah, it's Marjolein. But everyone calls me Mayo because it's more easy, because the British think the J is a little bit too hard in Dutch. So.
Okay. All right. So Mayo or Marjolein?
Marjolein, yeah. That's good.
Okay, all right. I've been practicing.
Yeah, you can hear.
Good. Well, okay, and where are you this evening?
Yeah, this evening I'm in Limburg, actually, in a little hilly part of Holland. We actually got some hilly parts, so I'm here for a little training weekend.
Okay.
Been good, okay. Yeah.
Nice, and where... So that's not normally where you're based then?
No, I'm actually from the coast of Holland. Very windy, very flat. And there's a lot of dikes and water. So I like the flat.
Yeah, I've been looking at your kind of palmares, and your top results all seem to come in kind of hard, very hard days out, either on the cobbles or in the crosswinds, or, you know, very kind of coastal Dutch, Belgian type races.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's my I got my best efforts when it's hard racing. It's when I go out training every day, it's always windy. I think we get like 2 days a year that there's no wind. So and especially with the cobbles and everything, when it gets a little bit harder, it's, for me, it gets a bit easier because everyone feels a bit more tired. And I think that's that's my specialty.
Okay, and are there much cobbles around where you live as well as wind?
Well, not as much cobbles. No, it's actually really good roads overall in Holland. The roads are great for cycling, especially because it's just everything is built for bikes. So that's great. It's just when you go over the border, I actually live pretty close to Belgium. Then there you have a lot of cobbles and a lot of bad roads. So yeah.
Okay, and do you specifically hump them out in your training to get your practice in?
Sometimes, yeah. I have kind of a loop with some cobbles in and some gravel and just for like an exciting day out if I want to do a long ride and don't want to get bored, because we have a lot of like long bridges and long straight roads. So if you want to do like something exciting, you go for the gravel roads or some small cobbles that we have around.
How did you get into cycling? What was your kind of journey into racing?
Well, I started pretty early because I'm from a cycling family. So my parents, they both raced. My brothers, they started both racing. And then when I was 7, my dad, he just bought a bike for me, like a race bike. And I got it for my 7th birthday. And from then on, I had to go. My brothers, they were already going to the club. And I could join them and try to race. But actually, I didn't start racing until I was 10, I think, because I crashed before and I broke my helmet. And my mom got so scared that she said, no, you're not going to race until you're like 10 or 12. But I kept whining that I wanted to race. So, yeah, I started racing from when I was 10.
Okay, so even after that crash, you just wanted to get back and start racing. There was something inside of you that kind of
I thought it was just crazy fun to go fast, but it was it looked bad when I crashed, but I didn't have anything. It's just like when kids crash, they cry and it's all terrible, but actually they don't have anything. So that was, it was pretty good. But then I started racing and it was really bad. I got like dropped every time from the start, but I just thought it was so fun and I had all my friends in the races and it was really fun. But then after a few years, my dad said like, okay, well, we're driving all around the country for some races and you're not doing very well. Would you like to try another sport? And I was like, oh, well, let's try another year. And then I started ice skating in the winter and actually I improved so much that the next race in the next season I won. So this was my first race that I won. And from then on, I got the feeling from winning and riding on the podium. And then, I kept it going for since then.
Great. And was that all road racing? Kind of how does what does kind of racing look like as a youth in Holland?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Like we have a lot of crits. It's actually all crits. So we have some local clubs where you can race on a circuit, like all great roads. Sometimes they build a little hill in. It's really Dutch to do it because we don't have hills around here. So they build in the local circuits, they build a little hill. And as a kid, you're looking at it like, wow, it's a great hill, but it's actually like maybe a bridge. And then you start. There's, I think, so many local crits everywhere in Holland. So when you start racing, you always have a crit around to try. And also you have some startup races for local kids on normal bikes, actually. You don't even have to have a race bike or anything. You just can go on your city bike and race. So that's. You can start racing whenever you want.
And that still happens now, does it?
Yeah. Actually, I have nationals and everything for the youth.
I mean, that's brilliant. I mean, I think in the UK, there's a big conversation at the moment about just how expensive it can be to begin bike racing, because the kids have more and more expensive bikes, and you know, there's a now a big aero advantage to having, you know, the expensive kits, and
yeah,
it can be off-putting for some people to get into cycling, but just because it's expensive. But I mean, to have that facility where you can just hop on a bike and race against others on the same kind of bikes is brilliant.
I think that's the same problem everywhere, but also there's some great plans out there with local clubs that provide bikes for kids who just want to try it out, and if they really like it, then they can like buy a bike or anything. But I think the community is really great to helping each other. My first bike was a third hand bike, just to see if I liked it, and I think that's a really good thing to do within the cycling community.
And what about the ice skating?
Yeah.
How far did you get with that?
Well, I didn't go really and compete, but yeah, my technique isn't where it should be. But it's just really fun. Like my whole family loves ice skating. My family still goes to the ice skating, ice skating rink. Yep. every weekend. So, but it's just really fun. My parents, I don't know if it's really international that people know it, but there's a big race. That's last time that it was in 97, and it's a 200K ice skating ride, and it's a big thing in Holland. It hasn't been, it's all natural ice, everything in north of Holland. And my parents both did it like a few times, and it's a big deal here. So whenever we were kids, we do just put on ice skates, and they said, yeah, let's go.
Wow.
So yeah, it was an
200.
Yeah, 200K, yeah.
Non-stop.
So, yeah, it's called the Elfstedentocht. You should look it up. It's great. But it's the Fantastic. Last time it was held, I was like one.
Okay. All right. Oh, that's definitely something to check out. I wasn't expecting to talk about 200K ice skating rides in this conversation. Great. Well, and what about your brothers? Are they still racing? Kind of, and what level are they racing at?
My older brother is he's racing in the local crit level, and my other brother is just mainly ice skating. So I still train with my whole family. Actually, my dad and my mom still come along on rides, and it's pretty fun to do just a family ride on a Sunday. And we actually get it like a decent speed still. So for me, it's still fine to train with them.
Fantastic. You kind of told us how you got into cycling. When did things start to get serious for you? I mean, when was it apparent that this might be something you might really pursue?
Well, I think for me it was kind of like a process, because when I got in the under 16 level, I became national champion. That was a big deal for me, because also then you get directly to the junior selection for like national camps and training camps and European worlds, that kind of stuff. But the thing was that a lot of the riders in my same age, they were more of a all-around kind of rider, and I just wasn't a good climber. I was actually a terrible climber. I had a good sprint. But then we went like on training camps in Austria and on really hard training camps, and I was just dropped. So for me, I did very well in the local races, national races. It was all fine, but to get selected to a higher international racing, I didn't get selected that easily, because I just wasn't the good type of rider to go to harder races.
But you've had several years now at the UCI level, haven't you? So how did you kind of get there then?
Well, it took me a while longer than the normal route, because normally if Dutch girls are doing well, they immediately go on to UCI teams. And I saw all the girls in my age group go on the next year that they became under 23. And I was the one left behind in the club team, actually, with Jan van Arkel. But this team also did UCI races. And actually, the big thing that I learned there is also to race for the win, because we did some lower level races, but actually national races in Holland are still pretty high level compared to national, international racing. So I actually got much stronger there and also had 3 years of just building up and winning races. And I think a lot of girls who immediately go to UCI teams, they have to work a lot and don't get opportunities as much as I got with a club team.
Kind of worked out well then, in a way.
It gave
you the opportunity to really kind of hone your racecraft and understand how to win.
Yeah, and actually we did all also like big races. I did Nieuwsblad in my first year. I did all I did the Gent-Wevelgem 2015 as the first year, the big one with the echelons, and I finished it. And I was just such a good experience for me to get to know these races, get to know these climbs, and to not have to work for someone or not finish the race. My goal for the day was to finish the race and get a result. And I think that's a good learning curve to have, instead of just doing the 50K in the wind and then not finishing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then you had that experience. You got used to winning. You were already riding UCI races, and then 2018 you got signed by Lotto Soudal.
Yeah.
Is that right? And you had a pretty impressive year, I think, by all accounts. Looking at your results.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised, actually. Everyone was, because we had a leader, Lotte Capecchi, of course, but she wasn't around much because of track racing. And they just said, okay, you're doing well, just go for it. And I never expected to get such a leader role so early, because there were still some pretty good girls in that team. And for me, it was a good opportunity. But it was also, I felt that I was pushed in a leader position when I wasn't ready for it, because I had to lead girls and tell them what I wanted, but I didn't even know what I wanted. I didn't know how lead out was done. I didn't know how to help girls help me. So I think that was the thing that I missed back then.
So that wasn't something, wasn't a role you were used to at Jan Van.
No, that was just, there was a lot of older girls in Jan Van Arkel. They were just telling me if I did something wrong, and they helped me. And there was some good coaches around to help you understand and learn from them. But when you get into a position that you have to make the calls and you don't feel ready for it and you want to do the best, and I got some really good results and I'm really proud of that, but I think I could have done better, or you want to do better for your team. And that's something that was a bit hard for me.
Yeah. Yeah. You seem a little bit disappointed with your year, in a way, even though despite your, you didn't win, but you were up there. I think you got, two or three really good podiums and good races and top tens. And you seem to impress.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really good. And I was really, really excited about it. But I felt that I could do better.
yeah. Okay. Well, I guess that's a sign of someone who wants to improve. You're never satisfied, right? And despite your really good year, you kind of moved on after 2018. What was the thinking there?
It was actually the thing that I was looking for in Lotto Soudal was like organization help from other girls, and I got that anyway, but some things were falling apart. I really connected with the team, and I still love the staff that they had. They're really great people, but I felt it's more like it's really Belgium feel. So I don't know if you know the old Belgium community in cycling. It's really old school. It's and everything what you do is okay. So that's actually also what I got. Every result that I got that was pretty good, they said, oh, you're great, you're awesome, you're doing so well. And I felt like, this is not my best, I want to do better. And I didn't get pushed enough. So I was looking for a place where I could improve and learn. And around that time, I was actually also talking to Bob, but there were having some troubles back then with drugs. And I got connected to Ale Cipollini, and I knew some girls there that I thought I can learn from them. For example, Chloe Hoskin and Romy Kasper. They're amazing, some older riders that I can learn from. And I thought I can take this opportunity and grow.
Yeah, okay. And how would you sum up 2019 then?
Well, I learned a lot. So I achieved my goal that I wanted. I actually learned a lot. It was a great experience. I didn't do all the races I would be good at. I think the Italians, they're really sticking to what they believe in. And I think they did that also last year. But I got to do a lot of climbing races, which improved my climbing, which was good. But I'm still not a climber. So my results, I didn't get the results that I wanted to. Still, there were some good results, but I didn't get the opportunity that I would have gotten with Lotto Soudal. But I think instead I really got a lot of experience in leading out a good sprint and having some great characters like Chloe Hoskin really saying what you need to do. And I think that's really important for a leader to say what needs to be said and that you work with the feedback you were given.
So you didn't get the results you wanted, but you got the learning you'd hoped for.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing that I wanted.
Okay, well, let's move on to drops. So what led you to joining drops?
Well, as I said, I already had contact with Bob and Tom, and they actually had a whole plan for me to grow and to become like a better rider. And I really I believed in what they were seeing in me. So I loved that idea from Shad. And then I was doing Giro Toscana in Italy when I knew Bob was there. And I contacted him. I said, can we talk? He said, yeah, I'm in the same city as you. I'm just a few blocks away. I'm here on the terrace, just come around. And I just walked over and he was sitting there in the sun with a beer, sitting all alone, thinking. I was just coming up to him and we had a great chat about the future and about cycling and all other stuff. And he was still saying to me, like, I don't know what we have for the roster next year. I would love to have you there, but I don't know because we have some other sprinters here. So, and then actually the next day he sent me a message. Of course, we need to have you. I will give you a contract, and I was done.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So pretty quick business. And why did you kind of go back to Bob after that? You know, you were at LA Cipollini, you were kind of in a position where you were learning, and why did you want to move on?
Well, actually the whole team in LA Cipollini was falling apart a bit at the end of the season. A lot of girls were moving on, and the girls that I thought I could learn a lot from were moving on also. So there was no need for me to stay. And also I think the team was going in a different direction with Ljubljana. So I was already looking around for a different place for me, and I had a really good feeling with drops because it's the kind of environment that I think fits my personality and with people that make me motivated.
You had a kind of a little bit of a season, didn't you?
Kind of, yeah.
I mean, I remember actually watching on TV, watching you finish eighth in Le Samin right at the beginning of the year. But I mean, how frustrating has it been for you, kind of the interrupted season and kind of, I guess, the uncertainty about
race or not? It has been hard because Samin has been my best day on the bike yet, I think, because I was in the front group that stayed away, but then my wheel got loose in the back, and on the cobbles my gears shifted over and over, so I couldn't put pressure on the cobbles, and I got dropped from the front group. And then I rejoined with the peloton. The girl still said you need to sprint, but I couldn't shift gears and hold my gear. So I actually had to keep my shifter turned in to keep my gear on the highest gear and to sprint. So actually, with thinking back, that was my best day on the bike ever. So with that feeling, I went to Drenthe when everything was still going on, and I picked up my teammate Emilia from the airport, and then we were listening to a press conference in Holland, and they were saying everything's cancelled, every event, and we were just on our way to Drenthe, so we were just in shock and didn't know what to do. And since then, it's been like waiting and waiting to get back to racing again. And it's been hard because you get really excited when you think there's something there, especially when the season was starting up again. But then, with all the different rules in different countries, it became really hard for drops to compete in Belgium and all the other countries. So we had to, say no to a lot of races. And that was hard at the end of the season to see those races on TV and not be able to compete.
Yeah, it must have been really frustrating. And also just so frustrating given that you just raced your best race. You know, you must have been thinking, I'm on great form here. I could be on the verge of, you know, especially, I mean, I hadn't realized that you had that mechanical and, you're thinking maybe you could have got an even better result that day if it wasn't for that.
Yeah, I was sure of it. Yeah, I was feeling so good. And actually our Gillian Wynn, one of our team managers, he just showed me after the race that my whole wheel was loose and it actually could have gotten out in the sprint. So I was lucky that it didn't happen. But I was really gutted when I saw that. I was like, oh, well, next week, a better chance. But yeah, that chance never came.
I mean, obviously, this year has been a bit of a write-off for you and I guess a lot of the team, really. I mean, that's not unique in the cycling world, but what are your preparations looking like for 2021? I mean, how motivated are you? How have you managed to have a good, I mean, I guess you've had almost a year's worth of training in a way, but I mean, how have you managed to kind of focus and prepare?
Well, actually, it's been pretty good because I never in my whole career had a full year of training because I'm a physiotherapist. So I did my studies in the first 4 years. I was under 23. So I didn't have time to train a lot, actually. And I finished that 2 years ago, and then I started working. So I never had really time off because I was just racing and working or doing school. So this was the first for me, actually, when the first time of lockdown, also my work was cancelled. So I had so much time to train. I did some testing at the beginning of this winter and it looked pretty good. So I think it did me well just to do some training, but, I normally only race. So for me, it's craving races. That's been the hardest part, but staying motivated has been pretty good. Just trying to, go to different locations and in Holland and trying different things to keep yourself occupied, I think, on the bike.
So you're a physiotherapist. Are you busy kind of, are you working full time? How much time do you have for training?
No, I work part time. I work two days a week, and I actually work at Cycling Lab that's located in Amsterdam. It's especially for cyclists. So I only see cyclists on a workday. And that's pretty good for me also because I'm working with people that understand. And also my boss is a cyclist himself. And if I say, yeah, I have a training camp then and then, I just get free and we work it out together. So it's perfect for me. And it's also, I think it's good to have something next to cycling so that you, you can have other things to focus on and be busy with and not wake up every morning thinking about your training and your eating and everything, but also think about others in a way. I think that's good.
And you said earlier that drops kind of suited you. It had the kind of environment and the atmosphere that you were kind of looking for, well, that kind of suits you. What is it about drops that you think works for you?
Yeah, well, I think it's just, the funny thing is I just saw them on training camp, Valencia, and the first races in Belgium. And I felt so connected to all the girls. It was pretty funny, actually, to see on the training camp how well everyone was together. And it's so funny, like everyone just connects, everyone's laughing. It's so relaxed and but also very professional, motivated and working hard. It's pretty fun. It's fun and professional. And I've never had that in a team before, where everyone was on the same page, wanted the same thing, and also wanted to have fun while doing it. And I think that's the thing in cycling that I love the most. You know, I'll always say, when I don't think it's fun anymore, I will stop right away. But I've never had like this environment, and I wouldn't even dream of stopping, because I just think the team is so fun. And yeah, it's just a great group of people together.
Fantastic. And have you had a chance to get to know the riders very well? Are there kind of riders you kind of struck up friendships with, or were there riders you already knew quite well?
Well, I didn't know everyone. I think I just knew Amelia and Sarah from the beginning. But I got to know everyone fairly quickly, I think. Emily Meeking, Mix, she was my roommate, and I think that was a pretty good setup from Bob. I think he kind of felt it, but yeah, we clicked right away, and we still keep in contact. Like, I think we keep in contact with all the girls, and I think we help each other also in sometimes that we see someone is struggling with motivation in Corona times, or when someone is trying to yeah, we try to help each other, even though we cannot be together as a team.
So 2021, what are your goals? What are you hoping to get out of next year?
I want it to be my best season yet, I think. I had I can't say it's a breakthrough season, but a good season, first season in pros. But then I had my learning season, and well, this year I can't really say it's a season, but I want it to be just results. I think I know the team believes in me, so that's a great thing to have. But also I believe in the other riders that we have. So we have some great riders for different races, and for me it will be just important to pick out the races I want to perform at and be my best, and just make sure that I put all the things that I learned in the past few years to work, and also pass that on to the younger girls and let them see what we can do if we work together well.
Perfect. Well, I'll leave it there. We're going to go and chat to Alice Towers, your kind of newest, one of your newest and certainly the youngest teammate.
Yeah.
You'll have next season. But thanks so much, Mayo, Myoline.
Thank you.
Marge.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Best of luck for 2021. And I really hope you kind of get the season you're obviously hoping for and deserve.
Thank you.
Welcome, Alice, to the British Continental. Where are you this evening?
I'm coming from Cape Town, South Africa tonight.
And what are you doing? What are you doing now? I'm assuming you didn't go out there especially for this recording.
No. My family lives here. Well, some of my family lives here. So we come out for Christmas, like the month of December, and then spend Christmas here every year. So I came on, I arrived on Friday, and I'm here till just the start of January. So yeah, a bit of winter sun.
Right. Yeah, what's the weather like at the moment?
Oh, it's really nice. Well, definitely compared to England anyways. Like sun every day, because it's summer here. It's like reverse. It's summer in December and then winter in like July time. So it's like summer where I'm at.
And the training, is that, how's that going? Are you kind of enjoying the good weather?
Yeah, well, riding in the sun makes everything better, doesn't it? But the roads are really smooth. There's so many cyclists out as well. So it's quite a nice place to ride.
What are the roads like? I mean, is it quite mountainous there? I mean, I should know really, but I mean.
Yeah, well, our house is like on the coast, so it's quite flat up until a point. And then you kind of get round, you have to go through town and then over the other side of Cape Town. Like there's climbs, there's like open roads. That's the good stuff over that side. So yeah, the roads are really nice, and it's like beautiful on the coast as well. Always good views.
Very jealous. Reading it here in London this evening. Alice, how did you get into cycling? Kind of where, how have you got where you've got to so far?
My dad used to ride. He used to be like an elite a while ago. So he's always like brought me and my brother up like cycling and stuff. So I've always ridden a bike probably since from when I was about 10. And then I only started doing racing like end of youth, like under 16 was probably when I did my first national. And then I did all right actually, and then I just carried it on from there really. But I've always been doing like cafe rides with my dad and stuff, so I've actually been cycling for quite a while, but just started taking it a bit more seriously the last couple of years.
Okay, so it's really only in your junior years that you've actually...
Yeah, obviously only got like 1 year of junior as well, because this year didn't really end up being anything. So.
Of course. And you've ridden for Ciro Wheels Cycle Division?
Yeah,
the whole time.
Yeah. Perfect, yeah. I've always ridden for them. So it's quite weird, like... well, obviously I rode for Enric at the Spanish team in the summer, but actually just riding in different kit was kind of weird, because... I've ridden in Cycle Division kit ever since, like, probably back from when I was about 10.
Yeah, so it must have been a real culture shock.
It's quite exciting for me, yeah.
And there's quite a real group of kind of riders that have come through that team. I think you're, from reading other interviews online, that you're kind of, you know, and you kind of get on with and you ride with. Is that right?
Yeah. Kind of
the Nelson sisters and...
Yeah, I'm really good friends with Josie. She's, like, out smashing it in Belgium at the moment. And then there's quite a few junior boys that live around by me. And then there's obviously, like, the previous generation that went through, and they're all... Most of them are, like, pro now or like, were pro. So... There's loads of like alumni, I guess, from Ciro Cycle Division.
And what kind of races have you been doing with them? Well, kind of explain, you know, for listeners what your junior years have been like.
Well,
racing.
I just mainly did the national series as a first year junior, because the junior national women's series is only. I think it's only a couple of years old, so I was quite lucky that I got to race that. And then I did a few elite women's nationals, and they were really good as well. They're quite like, they're pretty hard actually. I was quite surprised. But yeah, they were really good. And then I did circuit races. I didn't actually get a chance to race abroad as a first year junior, and I was really like, I had a good year together for this year, so it's a shame it didn't really come together. So I'm actually relatively inexperienced, I guess, but I learn pretty quickly, so I don't really see it as a problem.
When you say you found the elite national road races hard, I mean, what races did you do and why were they so tough?
I didn't do all of them. I did Lincoln Grand Prix and the Cycle Classic. And there's so many like elite women doing the nationals, so it was like a massive field. It was only my like second season of proper racing, so I wasn't that like experienced either. And yeah, it was just good, and the standard as well of the nationals in the UK are pretty good, so that made it quite hard as well.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess that's. For women riders, that's I guess a benefit, or I don't know if it's an advantage or disadvantage.
I think it's an advantage.
Elite riders.
It's always good to like be a bit challenged. I think you don't want it to be easy.
Okay, so you had a good mix of racing in your first year, and this year was obviously interrupted. I guess as it was for pretty much every.
Yeah.
Rider in the world, but particularly those in Britain. But you got a stagiaire spot in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
How did that come about?
Well, my brother races. My brother's a year younger than me. He's a junior, and he was racing for a Spanish team who was doing the Copa Españas in Spain. And he was out doing a race. It was just out of lockdown because Spain got up and running quite quickly. So he went over for a race, and my dad went with him. And I think they were having dinner, and my dad was like, "Oh," he said to the team manager, and they have to talk with Google Translate because my dad can't speak Spanish and they can't speak English. And he Google translated, "Do you have anywhere for my daughter to ride?" And this guy was like, "Oh, yeah, yeah." And he like got on the phone, rang up Eneritz, who was the manager of Enercat, and like within about 20 minutes, they'd offered me a stagiaire contract. I think my coach sent my power data over, and it was had to happen really fast because I think, yeah, it was at the end of July and the stagiaire deadline is the 1st of August. So I think it must have been the last day of the month because I remember like emails going back and forth, like trying to get, and it was, the deadline was 4 p.m. or something and the UCI offices were closing and everything had to get done really quickly. So it was really like crazy. I went from like signing a contract for a stagiaire, like absolutely no racing at all. And then the week after, I was flying to Spain to do a UCI race. It happened quite fast, really.
Well, and that was the UCI race you did was La Périgord, is that
right?
Yeah,
in France, yeah. Oh, it was really good, yeah. It was originally meant to be just like a Spanish national, but then that ended up getting cancelled and I got put in like the other team that were heading off to France, and I was like, I kind of just went with the flow because I was just like, oh, I'll just see what happens. And I didn't really know what to expect. The big teams were there. There was Canyon Tram, FBJ, Arkea, and a few other like Conti teams. So I was sort of like overwhelmed, like all the team buses are pulling up. And like I don't know, it was cool because I hadn't actually like done that much racing abroad, and then I remember I wasn't even nervous because I was just like, I had so little pressure, and the team was just saying to me like, oh, don't worry, just like enjoy it. Like the team, they're all so lovely. So yeah, I just ended up just riding. It was, and then it was quite a fast race, and it got quite hard. There was like a finishing circuit. It got quite hard, and ended up splitting up. And I stayed with all the splits. And there was like it got really rain. Like it rained a lot. It got really wet on the last lap. So I was just like, there were so many people crashing on this end. I was like, oh, let me just finish. Let me just finish. And yeah, I made it to the finish. I didn't really contest anything, so I just finished in the group. But I was really pleased. To get round a UCI race as a junior.
Yeah, so. I mean, 32nd position. That's a pretty fine start to your UCI racing career as a second year junior. And what was the experience like overall riding in Spain? Did you get to kind of race a lot out there?
I did that race, and then I came back. I stayed and trained for about a week in the residence they have in Lyon in Spain. And then I came back to England for a few weeks. I did a few time trials, and then I went back out and then did another race in the Basque Country. And that was a national as well. And that was really good as well. The racing, it's like, the standard's really high as well. And the course is, the one I did was hard. I don't know what the other ones are like. And I don't know, it's just everyone's really enthusiastic over in Spain, so it's just nice to be like part of the atmosphere. I was actually meant to go back out for the Madrid Challenge, and then it didn't really end up working out. The flights to the Spain ended up getting cancelled, and then the day before the challenge was meant to start, the team had to all get COVID tests, and one of them was positive, so they couldn't do it anyway. So it was a good job I didn't go and do that. That would have been a really good race. I watched it on TV, actually. It's a shame I wasn't there.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a World Tour race as well. It would have been a really good experience.
Well, that's a real shame. But, I mean, I guess you're right at the beginning of your career. Hopefully there'll be
many
more chances like that. So tell us about the transfer to Drops. How did that come about?
Well, I met with Bob back in July, and then we met at a cafe, and I was speaking to him about how he'd like to have me on the team, but he hadn't sorted everything out for next year, so he didn't want to offer me anything there and then, because he didn't want to tie me up to anything, kind of, which was nice of him. And then that gave me the opportunity to join the Spanish team in the meantime. But yeah, he's kept me updated with how the preparation for next year is going all the way through. So it's actually been quite a long process. Like, I mean, it's December now, so that was 5 months ago now. So it feels a long time ago. It was sunny when I saw him in the cafe.
Was it always going to be Drops? I mean, were you... Were other teams kind of interested?
Well, I think it was hard after this year. I think at the start of this, well, I couldn't have ever predicted that this year would have turned out like this. But even with a normal race season, an offer from Drops would have been like one of the best things I could have hoped for anyway. So with all that that's happened this year, and to have come like finished the year with a contract with Drops is like... It was pretty amazing for me, really. I couldn't really want anything else, really, especially like as a first year.
And it must be incredibly hard for many juniors this year. You know, they haven't really had any results to show potential teams to.
I'm sure there's so many people as well who just like know that they can, I don't know, produce like a result, and they just haven't had the opportunity. Especially in the UK, because there has been no racing. But it's a shame. But
you've landed on your feet.
Yeah, I'm okay.
You're with Drops. Do you know any of the other riders on the team? I mean, you'll obviously be the youngest there.
But I don't actually. No, I haven't. No. I haven't. I've heard of them, and I think a couple of them live quite close to me, actually.
And what are your kind of expectations for next year? I mean, how are you looking ahead to it? Do you have any particular goals? Is it too early to say?
I kind of take every year as it comes. And I really don't know what to expect. But I'm just going to kind of, take it like step by step. And then like set a little goal for myself every time, like, I do a race and try and like progress. I just to keep learning, just experience, and just taking as much as I can.
I mean, I guess you're in the fortunate position then, as we were saying earlier, that you've already had that kind of experience of riding at the elite level. You've done UCI racing. So do UCI races now hold, you know, any trepidation for you? I mean, is it kind of more excitement or nerves?
I think definitely there'll be harder races than the ones I've done, and I'm expecting that. I've definitely got work to do and I've got to prove myself, so I'm just gonna take every race as it comes, do the best I can, and then hopefully by this time next year I've got a more clear plan for the year after that.
And will you be racing full time next year?
I finished sixth form in the summer, and I haven't gone to uni this year. So next year I'm going to fully focus and try to live the life.
Great.
And see how it goes.
And what kind of rider are you, Alice? How would you describe your kind of style? And
I think I'd like to think I'm aggressive, but... And then, I don't really know yet. I like a long climb. Like, when it's hard, when the pressure's on, and then it's kind of a bit attritional. I like that.
Okay.
I guess I'll find out on the type of races I do, but long races I think suit me.
Okay, and I guess you haven't really, with the race kind of racing you do in England, you haven't really had a chance to try yourself out on those kind of more mountainous terrain.
I haven't really raced abroad or anything, so I don't really know. It's a bit of a mystery.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's normal. I mean, pretty much every rider I interview, I always ask them what kind of rider they are.
I'm not going to tie myself up to a label yet.
Yeah, fair enough.
Still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, very sensible. And you said you don't kind of have massive expectations, but how ambitious are you generally with cycling? I mean, how far do you think you can take things? Do you have a view on that?
Yeah, I am quite ambitious, actually. But I find it hard to think too far into the future. Like I said, I just take every year as it comes. So I keep setting my sights higher and higher, and it's all happened quite quickly for me. So I'm kind of thinking ahead to have more and more, I guess, become better and better. But yeah, I'll just see how it goes.
Yeah,
I'm not really sure.
Are there any particular races you dream of winning? You know, if you had to pick a race, what would it be?
Maybe one of the classics, Tour of Flanders. They do a women's Paris-Roubaix now. That didn't happen this year, but yeah, something like a bit iconic.
I mean, with your kind of climbing style, is that something you think is kind of realistic, or are we going to kind of see you kind of in the Giro Rosa? Or
I don't know. I'll see. The Giro Rosa, that's a good one, isn't it? Long climbs. Yeah, that would be a good one to win. Any race, I'd be happy to win.
Yeah, I guess you're still kind of at that age where you're, and particularly I guess because you're so new to cycling in a way, or race racing, you're still working out your style, what your strengths are, and where you're head. So perhaps it's unfair for me to ask to name races, but and your brother as well. So he's racing. Is he slightly younger than you?
Yeah, he's a year younger than me.
Yeah.
So he's still got a year left of junior next year.
Do you train with him? How does it work?
Well, he's in Cape Town with me, so and my dad rides as well. And then there's a few people that live nearby. But Lucas is always a good training partner. So
and are you competitive with each other on the training
roads? Well, he's a bit better than me, unfortunately, but I always like to give it a go. It's good to have someone to talk about things with as well, because sort of at the same. He's only a year younger than me, so we sort of we were both junior this year, so we, just chatting about stuff. It's always good to have someone to ride with all the time as well.
Yeah, and I guess is it a very kind of. Is cycling all you talk about in the family? I mean, is there anything else you...
Some days. No. We always have a bit of a break, but yeah, sometimes it is it's quite a main topic.
Yeah. I will leave it there, but thanks so much for chatting to us, Alice.
Thank you.
Really appreciate you joining. It's obviously very late at night out there in South Africa.
That's not too bad.
Well, quarter past 11 is late for me, but that's just me because I'm old now. But I really appreciate you staying up late to chat.
It's all right.
Hope the weather stays good out there, and you get a nice kind of foundation of training. Yeah, and really look forward to following you next year and your first year at the elite level with Drops.
Thank you very much.
Hope it's a good one. Thank you very much, Alice.
All right, good to talk to you.
Thank you very much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, then please do leave us a nice review. You can subscribe on all the usual channels, and you can follow us on social media. On Twitter, we are at British Conti, and on Instagram, we are at the British Continental. And please do visit our website for more interviews, journals, previews, and news at thebritishcontinental.co.uk.